I have an outline here, but there's something brewing in my heart, and I got to go there. So I want you to go to 1 John. We'll get to the prayer of agreement. But I just sense something in my heart. We'll just follow that. Father, we thank you for the anointing of the Lord that maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. We thank you for the absolute surety of your covenant. You've given us a better covenant established upon better promises because it's between the Father and the Son. And it cannot be broken. It cannot be annulled. Hallelujah. And we are beneficiaries of that covenant between the Father and the Son through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for joint heirship with Christ in the name of Jesus. And Lord, now we thank you that we can rise up to the level of sonship that you've called us to walk in and cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us and have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And nothing will keep us from hearing what you have for us in the name of Jesus. And I break the power of all mocking spirits in the name of Jesus. You will not mock what I have to say. You will not mock anything the Spirit of God says. You will be submissive to the power of God and flee, because we told you so in the name of the Lord. Amen. 1 John 5, let's just read verse 1. It said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. I remember when I first got saved, I wasn't sure if I was saved. I knew I was saved, but I didn't know the devil. And I didn't know how to combat his lies. How many of you know you can be born to a family and be blessed, but your friends at school will try to tell you you're not part of that family? I don't have to explain, do I? And they'll call you all kinds of names, make you feel inferior and all that sort of thing. Well, it's all lies. If you don't know how to combat that, the only way you can combat that is know who you are. Be strong in yourself. Stand up to a bully by just telling him, look, just don't let it affect you. Amen. That's the only way to defeat the bully. You know, unless you take his head off. And, you know, you better hit right the first time. Praise the Lord. But anyway, so whoever believes Jesus is the Christ, born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You get that? If you love him that begat, this is good King James, you know. If you love him that begat, you got to love the ones that are begotten. Glory. That'd be a good place to camp right there. Because the begatter is the one that begotten them. And if you have trouble with somebody that was begotten, you got trouble with somebody that begat. If you don't know what begat and begotten means, you're just lost. God gave birth to us, but he also gave birth to everybody else in Christ. So you have to love them. Yeah, but I got a grief. I got a gripe. Well, that's your problem. You need the blood. You need to take communion and forgive your brothers and sisters who may never do what you want them to do. But they are begotten of God, nonetheless. So if you love him that begat, you got to love those that are begotten. Enough of that. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not, I don't care what you say, grievous. That's the Eddie Gutfeld translation. There's a parenthetical thought there. They are not, I don't care what you say, grievous. I don't care what I say. Sometimes it does seem grievous, doesn't it? But that's carnal thinking. His commandments are not grievous. You know what is grievous? Is sin. The wages of sin is death. And no matter how hard it is to follow God, it's not death. It leads to life. And there will come that beautiful spirit that James talks about, where he says at first it doesn't seem all that cool, but then it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Whew. Wow. Now here's what I want you to get, though. All that was extra. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. That's an astounding, astonishing, rendering us senseless thought. Getting us out of that sense-ruled figure, amen, and getting into the spirit realm. He said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. For who is he that overcometh the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what does it take to overcome the world? To believe that what? Jesus is the Son of God. And so when you believe that, you are now in a realm of victory. I like to say it this way. Victory is a place. There's a place called victory. Amen. And where is that place? It's in Christ. All the victory we need is in Christ. Amen. Now, it's a place that you enter into. And if you don't enter in there, you can't get in there. Because Hebrews 4 and 3. Write that down, Hebrews 4 and 3. He said, we which do believe do enter in to rest. So the place of victory is a place of rest. Amen. So there's a place of victory, and it's a place of rest. And where is it? But it's in Christ. So if I am in Christ, I am where the victory is, and I'm where the rest is. Amen. When it comes to my eternal life, eternal salvation, I rest in that. It's done. It's settled. Once you find out God's will, but the beautiful thing about it is you can get rest in all those areas, in all the areas that God has spoken of. Amen. Hebrews 11 says, through faith, we understand, you know, that talking about all the heroes of faith, these died in faith, having not received the promise. How do you die in faith and not receive a promise? Faith comes from a promise of God. Every promise of God has enough faith in it to sustain you and give you victory and rest. Isn't that good? And we got to get into that place of victory in every area of our life. We already have it where eternal life is concerned. Because most people aren't afraid they lost their salvation. Most people. Some people have been taught horribly wrong. And walk around teetering on the brink of losing their salvation every time a bus passes by or something. And that's just wrong thinking. But the point I'm sharing here this morning is victory is not a report about what happened when you got the blessing. Victory is a report of what happened 2,000 years ago on the cross. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that's where my victory came. In my financial realm, in my health realm, in my marriage, with my children, all of that victory was fought and won at that battle. Amen. And I start with a place of victory. You gotta know that. Otherwise, you'll be grabbing for victory instead of believing that he obtained it for you. Now, what are you doing? You're enforcing victory. You're enforcing something. Because the title deed's already there. It belongs to you. It's just like if somebody left you a will and said, this house belongs to you when I die. This house worth $2.6 million. Paid for and clear, is yours when I die. Now, let's say the person who's giving that is Bob Sullivan. Anybody know a Bob Sullivan? Good. Okay. So Bob Sullivan dies and he leaves Helena, he leaves Helena a $2.6 million home. Tax deferred. It's all been paid for. I don't know how that works, Tim, but I meant Tim Dodd, not Tim Dill. So when I got their names mixed up. Forgive me. Anyway, we love you, Tim. When I was talking earlier, okay. So Helena walks around San Rafael, and they say, how you doing? Well, not too good. What's going on in your life? Well, not too much. I have a title deed to something, but they said they're not going to give it to me, so I don't know what I'm going to do about it. What do you got a title deed to what? Oh, it's a house. Really? Are you kidding me? How much is it worth? $2.6 million. Really? Well, how come you're not doing anything about it? Well, I feel tired. And I got a bad phone call yesterday from a person I haven't heard of in a long time. And one of the people at church I just have a problem with. And pastor's preaching on prayer again. That's just, you know, I just don't feel like fighting. Are you kidding me? I'll fight for you. Yeah. Just give me a, you know. Just a little bit. No, I'm teasing. The fact is, it would be no more real. It's no less real to us. The victory that we need in our life has been bought and paid for. Now, what she needs to know is how to fight that fight. Because it can be tough. Tim, you know stuff about some of these types of things, right? You've dealt with people in their accounting, and they've had to fight for certain things that belong to them, and it took a long time to get it. Am I right? Sometimes you have to know how to fight. We're called to fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Why? Because that's where the victory is. If you get off faith, you've now got in another realm. And there's the realm of humanism, which is so prevalent today, and the realm of faith. Remember what the prophet said to Gehazi? He said, he prayed, he said, Lord, open his eyes. Was that Elisha? He said, open his eyes that he may see. Elisha already knew it. He knew that there were angels everywhere helping him. But Gehazi, he didn't know. So he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw around about chariots of fire. He said, wow, there's a whole other realm of faith that I need to know about. Hallelujah. David saw it as a little boy, shepherd young man, who had defeated a bear and defeated a lion. And then he got to all the church people who'd been around for a long time, and they tried to talk him completely out of faith. Say, oh, you don't know how hard it could be. Oh, you're just a young whippersnapper. You think God just beat, you just have victory all the time. Well, I got some news to tell you. Life's a little bit tough. And life will wipe that silly grin right off your face. Understand, many are the tests and trials of the righteous. It says it in the Bible. It says, many are the tests and trials of the righteous. So you're quoting scripture, I'm gonna quote scripture. But David said, yeah, well, you didn't read the rest of that. Says the Lord delivers them out of them all. Psalm 34. Why? Because the victory's been paid for. You got to enforce the victory. When Goliath came, he came. That's what his name means. He go and he lieth. See, he lieth wherever he go. So he wasn't telling the truth, was he? Well, the devil hasn't changed today. He's still lying. And he's lieth-ing to you. And when he came, he said, I'm going to defeat the armies of Israel. And David said, wait a second. You don't have a covenant with God. I have a covenant. Covenant people don't lose. That's all David knew. Covenant people don't lose. I don't care what it looks like. And every single indication for victory was where David was looking for from Israel, there was none. There was not one elder person that could take this young teenage boy and show him the path to victory. David got it by worshiping God himself. He worshiped the Lord and took care of God's little lambs. Well, that's what we ought to be doing. Worship the Lord and take care of his lambs. Find a lamb you can take care of. Hallelujah. Find somebody that needs your counsel, your wisdom. I don't know anybody. Well, go find one. Amen. And just pour the love of God into them and teach them the basics of faith. Well, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So when it comes to humanism says, you know, don't worry, be happy. They even wrote a song about it. Don't worry, be happy. 10 thoughts on how to win friends and influence people. And all this positive type stuff and all this whatever. But inside of all of that is still death, because it doesn't know how to overcome this world. You can prop yourself up only so far. You can do mind over matter and do things. There are things you can do in the soulless realm if you try hard enough. But with this, there is no promise from God. There's no fear of God. And more than anything else, is no faith. It's faith in self, not God. It's what the Bible calls a pistis. Pistis is faith. Anything with an A in the front of it is the opposite. It's going the opposite direction. This is a life of pistis, faith. It has a promise. It has the fear of God. And it has eternal rewards. Hebrews 11:6 and beyond. This has no rewards. You follow that? That's why we need to center in our attention on what God says. Because that's what pleases God. That's all I'm concerned about anyway. How about you? Yeah. I want to please God. Yeah. I want God to be pleased with my thought life. I want God to be pleased with my speech. I want God to be pleased with what I bring to the table, what I bring to my neighbor. I don't want to cause my neighbor to stumble. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. Hallelujah to Jesus. I want to be a bridge for those to cross a path. Cross, how do you say it? A crossover, thank you. A cross a path. What is that? To what? To pass across. Pastor Sherry wrote a song, and that's the line. That's what I was trying to think of. So, to pass across. I want to be a bridge for those to pass across. Why? Because that's what builds people up. That's what my father told me to do. He said, you know, speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Glory to God. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. Now, what has this got to do with agreement and prayer? Well, I wanted to lay that foundation of faith to jump into this. Look, let's go to Matthew 18, verse 19. And these words, you know, sometimes you enter into a realm with God, and every word that God speaks causes you to stop. You know, I don't know about you, but there's been periods of time in my life where you just read, and you just gather, and you're just so hungry, and I'm not saying that you're not really getting it all. It's just that it's new and you're just feeding on it. And then there's a time in your life when you can't read so fast. Stop. I've heard this 100 times, 1,000 times, yea, even 10,000. But say that again. Because somehow I didn't quite get it. You know what that is? That's 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 1, he said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not just going to come to you, it's going to be multiplied. That means as many times as you read it, something else is going to come. Because God is so good. And your situations change. And life changes and things happen and all this sort of thing. And you look at it in a new way. And you rediscover the discovery. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. God can give you the same gift 100 times and it comes to you 100 different ways every time. And it's amazing how that can happen, and it does. But he said, again, I say to you, that if two of you on earth, so he's not talking about being so spiritual, you're not on earth. He's talking about two people. That is enough ingredients for trouble. I never had a problem until I met a person. Yeah. Two is enough to have disharmony. There's a risk in any two of you. I don't care who the two is. You put two people together and you got a risk. There's a possibility. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who the two are. Amen. It's just human nature. We have to deal with our flesh. Has nothing to do with the devil, really. Has nothing, you know, Some strife has nothing to do with the devil. Now, ultimately, he's behind it. But the fact is, you can't cast out your flesh. You gotta deal with the flesh. The Bible said, mortify the flesh. Kill it. Crucify it. Yes, come on. Praise the Lord. Maybe I'll take you out to lunch. That would be nice. Praise the Lord. But you see, you got to crucify. Somebody said, you know, I'm trying to die to myself. Quit trying to die to yourself. Crucify it. Take the cross to it. Yeah. Say, in the name of Jesus, I render you harmless and against me in the name of Jesus. Now watch this. Now you come under submission. You can't cast out your body. You can't believe it away. You come under submission to the power of the cross. Amen. You crucify the flesh. I'm dead to that. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to me closely. A thought can come up, and it can be a good thought. That guy just makes me mad. It ticks me off. That person should have done A, B, C. And the Lord says, who made you the judge of the living and the dead? What are you doing? Why don't you pray for that person? Oh, Lord, pray for that person. Jesus, you must be crazy. I'm telling you, Matthew 18 is the least acted upon chapter in the Bible. Why? Well, let's look at it. We're there in Matthew 18, 19. He says, verse 15, moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That almost never happens. There's a whole group of people know before he alone knows. And we do it this way. I just need to talk to you about this. See if you agree with me. You don't do that. That's like a little kid in the playground. You go, if it's in your own mind, your own thoughts are thinking this thought. That's enough for you to go talk to your brother. Boris just ticks me off. Ron, I need to talk to you about Boris, you know? See if I'm right. Ron, tell me if I'm right. I just got to share these things. Ron, what Ron should do is say, have you talked to Pastor Boris yet? No, I haven't. But I don't know if I'm right or not. Well, maybe Boris can help you. Now, see, we have a little bit of responsibility on this, both of us. What are we talking about? We're talking about a lifestyle where your prayers always get answered. How many of you want that? We're talking about two on earth agreeing and touching anything that they shall ask. Now, Pastor Ed, he didn't mean anything like anything. He meant anything like that other thing. Did anybody get that? Because you think anything means anything, but really anything means some things. Well, if he meant some things, why didn't he say some things? Why did he say anything? Amen. Now, obviously, there is a parameter, and it's God's promises, God's will, God's ways. Amen. There's some people that we know. We ran into them once or twice. This is what Brother Hagin called ignorance going to seed. They're believing God for somebody else's wife. Believing God, confessing, in the name of Jesus, I believe God. But that's just about as stupid as you could get. I mean, the devil could just go somewhere else because you're already taken care of. You're already so bad it's not even funny. Can you imagine somebody believing God for somebody else's wife? That's stupid. It's selfish, it's covetous, it's everything. Obviously, God doesn't sponsor stupid things like that. Amen? But in the realm of life, we have to face so many problems. And these things are covered in the Word of God. Amen. And if two on earth agree, we can see miracles happen. No question about it. And there's not even a question whether God wants it to happen or not. It's just whether we're going to have that harmony and agreement. That's really the key issue here. But he says, if your brother trespasses against you, go tell him his fault between he and them alone. Now look what it says in Matthew 8 Matthew 6. I hope it is. Oh, yeah, 5. I knew it was the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 43, Matthew 5, 43, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is talking about your sworn enemy. Well, it's easier for a sworn enemy, but a Christian? Hey, if you can pray for a non-believer, you can pray for a believer. If you can bless a non-believer, you can bless a believer. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, that he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same? So he's telling us there's a realm of life that is higher than what you think is right. And Jesus raised the bar so high that the only way you can walk this way is with his help. There's no other way. And the only way you get his help is if you understand what his blood did. It's connected to the blood of Jesus. That's why a bloodless religion is a powerless religion. That's why you name me any form of belief without the blood of the Lamb, and it's insufficient to deal with the thinking. Now, most Christians have a hard time with it. I honestly believe there would be no reason for a psychologist or a psychiatrist if people understood the blood. Now, having said that, there's no evil thing that people have sought help. It's better to seek help than not seek help. Come on now. And, I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just telling you, what did people do before there was a psychiatrist? You know what I'm saying? There's help. There's help. That's all I'm saying. I know wonderful ministers that have sought help from psychiatrists. They're my brothers. They're my friends. I don't belittle them at all. So you understand what I'm saying? Please don't take offense at what I'm saying. I'm saying, though, that there is a revelation of love in the blood that absolutely turns the devil completely on his heels, and he has to go. And there's a revelation that comes to our hearts that will not break fellowship. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. Because this is not all there is. When we take communion, we say, Lord, I receive your body and your blood until you come. He's coming again. This is temporary at best. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, praise the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. That ought to bring so much comfort to your soul. This is not all there is. Praise the Lord. The devil said, that's it. That's it. You're dead. I said, no, it's not. No, it's not. Even if I don't get the answer, I'll get it over there. Praise the Lord. I'd rather hang on to the promise of God than lick his boots. Come on now. Sometimes it takes that kind of thinking. He said, if any two of you on earth, we'll go back to Matthew 18:19. If any two of you on earth, that's where the problems are, on earth. Praise the Lord. That's where the mess is. The Bible said that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the enemies of faith. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's what's in the earth. If any two of you shall agree on earth, that blesses me. God knows we're here on earth. Any two. Well, you remember, was it? Who was it? Was it Noah trying to get somebody to agree with him in Sodom and Gomorrah? Was it Noah? Went and prayed to God, Lord, if I find 50? Who was it? Good. Who said Abraham? Well, you all got it right. Okay, praise the Lord. Too many quarters. I just seen if you're paying attention with Noah. What's that? I know they do. Okay, well, you'll get your quarter, okay? Praise the Lord. He said, if you can find somebody, I'll spare the city. So he went all the way down to what, 10? And he must have felt, this is the father of faith. He must have felt he could find 10. And he couldn't even find 10. Tell me that harmony is not important. Tell me agreement is not important. So he said, if any two of you shall agree on earth, I'm taking my time on purpose. I want this to sink into your heart. You know, on Tuesday afternoon when you're, or Thursday afternoon when you're tired or whatever, and it's Sunday so long away, it's just as important to believe then. You know, there are people in the hospital right now that depend on your prayers. Sometimes you get under attack or I get under attack, something happens to us. It's powerful when the body of Christ just won't break agreement. That, are you telling me that doesn't affect my daily life? It does. It does. When the body of Christ is that tightly knit together, we got some ways to go. But we can get there, praise the Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit. We have His help. Notice what He said here. If any two of you shall agree, I like what the Amplified says when he talks about agree. He talks about harmonize together, make a symphony together about anything and everything that they shall ask. Anything and everything. Try this for a week. Try not disagreeing with anything. Just try not disagreeing with anything. I'll guarantee you it's going to be harder than you think. And I'm not talking about, there's a car coming. Okay, I can't disagree with them. Boom! Oh, boy! You know, it's like, we're not talking about that. Isn't that pretty? No, it's ugly. Why you got to say that? Let it be pretty. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm not saying this is the way you have to live rich. Just see how often we just do our little human thing. It's just our little human thing. I'm just got to bring some kind of disagreement into this somehow, some way. I got to add a comment. It's not enough to just let that statement sit there. I'm going to add a comment. Because I'm the chief editor of my block. Editorial comments left and right. It's just human nature. It's not really, you know, church, I'm saying it's not really the devil, okay? It's just the way we get used to things, not under the authority of God. Now, the other side of it is this ridiculous spirit of religiosity. That's the other side of the coin, where people are so serious all the time, so watching everybody's words, watching. Stop it. Have some joy in your life. But I'm just saying, check up on yourself. Try not to say anything negative. Just try to agree with the promise of God. One person said to Brother Hagin one time, they said, you just say nice things all the time. You probably say something nice about the devil. And he said, well, he is a persistent cuss. But, you know, and I'm not saying that you... It's wrong to say, because sometimes it's the right thing to do to say something that's against. You know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about that. We're talking about just that little stuff that we go through all the time. It really doesn't matter, but we somehow or another got to add some comment that just brings it down. And I hope you agree. I hope you understand what I'm saying to see where that leads. Because if we check up on that and say, Lord, what is there anything I do that just... I want that out of my life. because he said, if you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, they shall ask, they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. The Amplified reads it this way. It will come to pass and be done for them. It will come to pass. See, the whole idea of prayer is that it comes to pass. Prayer is not a time waster. It's not a time consumer. It is a come to passer. It is the changing of events. It's when believers say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't care what anybody says. Like some people in Oakland got together. And Oakland's one of the worst cities, certain parts of it, some of the worst cities in the United States. Right next to Detroit. Horrible. People don't even want to live there. But they do. And they just get together and say, that's it! These six houses, there will be no violence. There will be no breaking in. There will be no shooting. There will be no nothing. And they pray and they walk around their little neighborhood and they believe God. And then it goes to 10 houses. Then it goes to 12 houses. Why? Because they see the power of agreement. These people are serious. Satan, get out of our neighborhood. We will live here. I'm not moving. You're moving. Amen. And people have done that. Has it been perfect in every instance? No. But it's way better than it was. And what does that do to the children? They see the people, the elders on that neighborhood taking their place and saying, that's a man. That's a woman. Not a prisoner. Well, I wonder if it's going to rain today. I don't know about that. Probably even shooting at 6 o'clock. Stupid kids. Just go on and on about the stupid stuff. Church, we've been given something from heaven. We've been given the keys of the kingdom. We've been given authority to govern. We're the sheriff in town. Yet the sheriff's asleep on his job. Smokey and the Bandit's going to run crazy. Never even saw him. I have no idea what it's about. Let me just read you these scriptures and we'll close up. We can agree, harmonize, and make a symphony to those who walk with God as well. He said, two of you on earth, that is you and me. Since he has said it, it is possible. Look and see what happens when we get in agreement. Acts 4, verses 24 through 31, but I'm just going to read part of it. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God in one accord. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brethren. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, see, there was people in that room, they were one accord. And they stayed there for 10 days. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You notice they were in agreement before. They were sent to pray, and they were still in agreement on the day that the Pentecost came. That's 10 days of being in agreement. That's powerful. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:46, 47. The result was they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness, singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 5, 11 and 12. For great fear came upon all the church, and upon many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. We already read Matthew 18 and 19. Whatever anything they may ask, it shall come to pass for them of my Father which is in heaven. 1 Peter 3, 7 and 8, talking about marriage. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not what? Hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. The last one I want us to put up on the board if we could, and we'll read it together because, man, this is really what it ought to be in every congregation. This is, you know, so beautiful because the Holy Spirit is not divided. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not divided. And when this Spirit is prevalent, prayers just get answered all the time. It's just the way it ought to be. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 is on its way, and it's coming. It is? Okay. Let's read it together, okay? 1, 2, 3. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can that happen? It's agreement. Agreement on what? This. God's word. We're not going to pull a rabbit out of our hat and say, yo, come on, let's all agree. You know, that's silly. It's God's word. It's God's word. We're on safe ground. We're on safe ground when we believe God's word. That's what we're called to preach. God's word. Not your thoughts. Not my preferences, your preferences. You know, the color of carpet may be one thing. But don't make that a big deal. It's whether the people get healed on the carpet or not. Not the color of the carpet. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, Father God. Lord, I thank you for invading our homes. Invading our hearts. Lord, our bodies are your temple. There's to be no division in your temple. Lord, we want you to be at home in us first. We want you to be at home in us. Lord, we talked about the body of Christ being in agreement, but we first have to talk about us being in agreement with you. So, Father, we bow our knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We bow our knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prayed this prayer in Ephesians church. If you could, just get on your knees for a moment. If you can't do that, just lean forward. Glory to God. Lord, we bow our knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we bow our knees, Lord, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Lord, give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of you. Oh, God, strengthen us with all might by your Spirit in the inward man. Glory to God. That we may personally come to know the height, the length, the depth, the breadth of the love of God. To be filled with all your fullness. To know that you can do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. According to the power that's working in us. And Lord, we, on the basis of the blood, we come into agreement with your word. We come into agreement with your Spirit. We come into agreement with the body of Christ. And we lay all the other things aside. And we thank you. Your Spirit has... Your Spirit, Lord God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Your Spirit has the preeminence in our thinking. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we want to be in perfect harmony with you. Spirit, soul, body, financially and socially. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now I want you to stand up, if you would, please. And I want you to go find somebody. Not the person next to you. Go find somebody else. Hallelujah. And just pray a blessing on them and let them pray a blessing on you. And let's just practice the love of God and take it out to the world and let it manifest itself in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.